The next presentation is entitled, What is Our Responsibility for Managing Movement of Invasive Species from Place to Place? The authors are Harold Baulbach, Lisa Rue, Fred Polnock, and Tyler Brummer. And Mr. Harold Baulbach will be giving the presentation.
Hi there. Well, we're researchers rather than public demonstrators, but there is some public demonstration piece to this also. And there's a story and a moral behind the whole thing. And one of these important points is when you complete a research project that takes several years and you come down to the end and you get your results, who's going to use them? And so I'm going to tell you a story here where we have the answers, but there doesn't seem to be anybody ready to use them, even the people who asked for them in the first place. Most of us have a good idea of what we mean by invasives, and the Presidential Executive Order 13112 tasked all federal agencies to manage their properties to minimize the likelihood that these invasive species would be spread, and federal agencies, being human mostly, immediately interpreted this in light of their own experience. And for example, the Department of Defense, following Desert Storm, had been severely criticized for proposing to bring hundreds of vehicles back to the United States without cleaning them, in the point of view of the Department of Agriculture, without cleaning them adequately. The Forest Service doesn't have any outside the United States activities worth mentioning, and they interpreted it in response to the criticisms that they had received that they were introducing weedy species when they brought vehicles in to fight forest fires. The DOD's first response to the executive order was a focus on how to clean vehicles being returned, retrograded, back to the United States from overseas. This applied everywhere overseas, but the obvious place is Southwest Asia, Iraq and Afghanistan, and the cleaning activities down in the lower right-hand corner here in Kuwait have extensive cleaning facilities to clean vehicles. They even go to the extent of removing the engines from the vehicles so that they can be thoroughly cleaned inside the engine compartment without hurting the electronic components of the engines. So it can take a day and a half to clean one vehicle. This is expensive, but is this the only thing that they should be doing? Well, the conventional tank wash baths here were developed some years ago in response to the need to clean dirt, mud off vehicles so that they didn't make a mess when they were returned to the motor pool. And in the upper left is a conventional wash rack. The other three views are the tank bath facility. When they designed these, the entire reason was removing soil, mud from the vehicles. Invasive species weren't one of the criteria that they had in mind. Is this central wash facility adequate for the purpose? Well, there are a lot of issues. Mostly they're next to the motor pool. They're not physically placed in such a way that they can easily clean vehicles that are leaving or entering the installation. You've got to get pretty well inside the installation before you get to the cleaning facility. And the conventional wash rack, where you just set it up and clean the things off, don't have any containment, and so that whatever weedy seed species that you wash off just end up on the ground nearby or down the drainage way, not very good for our purpose. Doesn't address aquatics. Well, as I said, the Forest Service did have an interest in invasive species within the country. In this project, we partnered with the Forest Service to help us look at this question. And For some years now, the Forest Service has had rules, at least in the western states, have had rules that every major forest fire attack plan includes a provision for washing vehicles that enter and leave the area. This is an example of one of these cleaning stations. This happens to be in Montana, but it's a portable station that can be moved anywhere. The detailed study that we did involved all of these entities here, and we were examining the potential for transport and how they could be reduced. We were looking at these kinds of issues, which are of interest to both the Forest Service and DOD. The underlying concern relevant to the Department of Defense is, do the results that we come up with show that this is going to be effective enough to answer the questions? The detailed study here evaluated the performance of five commercial wash units that are currently being contracted for by the Forest Service to provide forest fire washing. This is our test location out in California. They laid out a course that the vehicles went through. We used these three types of vehicles for the test. Forest Service provided the vehicles, but I think there's no question that they're adequate surrogates for the kinds of things that Department of Defense is interested in. Essentially, what happened is you cleaned the vehicles carefully, you sent them around the course to get muddy, you came back, you cleaned them again, you measured how much the commercial wash unit removed from it, then you checked separately how much did they leave behind. In other words, can you clean it off and get more? This is something about how the course looks and prepared. It goes around the course. Upper left is one of these wash units. This one happens to be the Class 3 fire engine that the Forest Service uses in a lot of these smaller fires. They quantify how much soil was removed by the wash contractor. Then you literally take the vehicle apart, look at it again, see how much soil you get out. You have two sets of soil. You weigh one, you weigh the other, and determine what percentage was removed. This is the proportion that could be removed by the contractors here. Five different contractors with five different washing systems. The blue bars are the fire engines, and as you can see, the fire engines range from, 83 or 84 down to about 65% of the soil removed by the contractor. They did better on the dozers because they had longer to work on them. They're nowhere near perfect. In fact, they're only so-so. how do you measure whether or not this is useful? Well, one of these follow-on studies that we did would say, well, if you wash them more than once, can you do good? And the answer is yes. If you wash them a second time and a third time, you do get successively more off, but you still don't get more than somewhere in the low 90% of the soil removed. The very best systems removed 80 or 90%. Some of them were less than 70%. But these weren't random systems. These were systems that were selected by the Forest Service partners to be the best ones they knew of. So how many others out there are doing a poorer job than this? The Forest Service has no performance specifications. Two guys and a portable power washer would be adequate for this. These happen to be all based on a better sign. This means that while the Forest Service is doing some good when they're doing the washing into their study area, into their firefighting areas, large amounts of soil are not removed. And the soil here is a surrogate for the seeds. Efficacy is much less than 100%. Is this level of removal a great enough benefit so that we should require inter-installation or even intra-installation cleaning on large installations to prevent the movement of seeds of invasive species from one installation to another or from one place on an installation to another. There are significant risks in the United States. The WASH units do remove a lot of the soil and plant material. You need to look at the seed disposal practices afterwards. We're not sure just how good the BMPs really are here. We've found some obvious things. Track vehicles have a greater potential to pick up seeds. Any off-road vehicle has a very high risk. Picks up thousands of seeds per mile in the correct conditions. Construction equipment and forest harvesting equipment is also high-risk material from the point of view of movement of these. And the season has a big effect. There are some higher-risk seasons. End of the summer, when all the seeds are mature, is a much higher risk than earlier in the year. Who needs to make these decisions? Well, we can tell them how to quantify the success rates. Is that enough to be worthwhile? If you get an established severe weed problem, it becomes the garrison commander's headache forever. And the activities to try to manage invasive weeds on installations is a big drain. It's mandated. It's required. You have to do it. The remediation can be very costly and take a very long time. Are you going to prevent those kinds of problems by instituting a vehicle cleaning program when we know that the amount that is being removed is much less than 100%? Cleaning construction equipment may be a piece of low-hanging fruit here. And in fact, in some states, construction equipment and forest harvesting equipment are required to be cleaned before they're moved from one location to another. So there are some starts in the process. Well, we've got the answers, but we're not in any position to force anybody to take any actions. We can tell them how to do it, but we can't tell them if they need to. Thanks. Any questions? Yes.
Have there been any studies looking at the percentage of how many are government vehicles and how much of this weed spread can be credited to recreation vehicles?
I don't know about the comparative questions, because for most of the infestations, they happened in the past, and we don't know what their source was. Another piece of this study did look at recreational vehicles, looked at ATVs, and one study picked up 200,000 seeds per ATV in an 8-kilometer off-road run. And I said, "You mean you're telling me that each of these picked up 250,000 seeds?" And they said, "Yep, that's right." And so that can be a really immense source. But yes, recreational vehicles, horses, hikers, all of these are potential vectors for transporting things from place to place. Military has been blamed for a lot of things. It's not clear if it was always their fault, partly because it happened in the past and we don't really know. Any other questions? Yeah.
We've seen within our own ag experiment station from one of our research centers that there's a movement of resistant weeds and nematodes.
Oh, yes.
So, I mean, as a concept of nematodes.
It's the question has been asked, but it wasn't part of the study. It wasn't part of the original proposal, and we didn't have the people or the technology to look for them. But yes, it's a potentially serious thing, or aquatics either. Somebody said, "Well, what about aquatic movement of aquatic species?" And we said, "Yes, but that's a whole different study." Okay. Thank you very much.